Our next case is Tasha Lloyd versus the Secretary of HHS, 2022-1371. Good morning, Mr. Gage.
May it please the Court. The issue today is whether or not this Court's long-held decision in Alfin, precedent in Alfin, prong one, is still the law, or whether the majority decision in Boatman overturned Alfin prong one.
Well, one of the Alfin prongs is temporal relationship.
Yes.
And that's a question of fact. And we give deference to the special master on questions of fact. And so there was a 9 months passage of time between the vaccination and the onset of symptoms. So why don't you lose?
That goes to my second issue on appeal. The question is whether on that is the fact question of whether or not there were symptoms of ITP in September of 2013. I'd like to keep my argument in order if I can, but just a preview, I guess, of that is that the special master did not consider our evidence on that issue. If he's forced to consider our evidence on the symptoms in 2013, September of 2013, that's his basis for saying it took 9 months. If he considers our symptoms, we put on clear evidence that, in fact, the symptoms started within weeks of the vaccination. So Alfin prong 3 is tied up absolutely with Alfin prong 2. And Alfin prong 2 is one of our appeal issues. So we have to, that issue of Alfin prong 2 has to be determined whether and how it is decided also decides Alfin prong 3. Alfin prong 3 just goes along with Alfin prong 2. I'd like to start with reading what the Boatman decision said in relation to Alfin prong 1. A petitioner must provide a reputable medical or scientific explanation for its theory. While it does not require medical or scientific certainty, it must still be sound and reliable. They cite Knudsen for that point. When the Boatman panel is criticizing the special master here, they're criticizing the special master's Alfin prong 1 analysis, the can the vaccine cause the injury. So they're citing Knudsen for that proposition. And going back to Knudsen, where they're citing it, proof of a logical sequence of cause and effect that the vaccination was the reason for the injury, and they cite Jay, it's citing Grant, and then this logical sequence of cause and effect must be supported by sound and reliable medical or scientific explanation. That comes from Daubert. So what the Boatman majority did is they cited the language from Knudsen that is the direct language that makes up Alfin prong 2, and they applied it to their analysis of Alfin prong 1. And in doing that, they incorporated the quote from Daubert, sound and reliable, and incorporated that into the Alfin prong 1 analysis. So the question here is, does Alfin prong 1 plausible medical theory still apply, or did Boatman, by quoting Knudsen, overturn Alfin prong 1's plausible medical theory standard and make it the sound and reliable standard? And that is how this particular special master interpreted it, and that's how it is being interpreted. Alfin is the vaccine program's super precedent. It is the case we always come back to. It gets cited by everybody at every level. It's the one that set forth the standards for causation cases. The reason that Alfin was decided was a previous special master decided a case called Stevens. It was Gary Galkowitz, the original chief special master. In Stevens, he said, in order for petitioners to prevail on causation cases, they have to produce medical literature and show that their theory, so the can cause general theory, is generally accepted in the medical community. This court in Alton said, no, you can't add those requirements on. Those requirements for a causation case would destroy, in essence, petitioner's ability to bring causation cases. The reason for that is because if everybody agrees, everybody knows this vaccine causes this injury, those are the cases that populate the vaccine injury table. Those are the ones that everybody accepts. We all know that. There's nothing to argue about. The cases that are causation cases, by their very nature, the medical science hasn't given us a particular specific biological mechanism. So applying that new standard, the Boatman standard, to Alton Prong 1, replacing the plausible medical theory standard, has done away with that protection that Alton was supposed to be there for. Alton has been petitioner's protection ever since it was written, which is like 17 years ago. We don't have to provide medical literature. We don't have to provide a vaccine footprint for the injury. We don't have to have the specific homology when there is molecular mimicry. And all of those things...
That last bit seems to me to be in a potentially different category. That is, the reasons for Alton saying you don't need medical literature is that, I think you just explained, that the cases that get litigated on non-causation, non-table cases are one in which the issue is not settled in the literature, but that doesn't mean that, and therefore you can put on your expert to say, here's why I think this is actually, why I think that there's causation, even though there's no general consensus about it yet. But Alton doesn't say you don't need that kind of evidence at a level of detail, like this is the kind of molecule for which homology would work.
If I'm understanding your question correctly, I think I am. We put on evidence, just instead of taking it from the hypothetical, we'll just apply it to this case. We put on a dual board certified medical doctor who treats ITP, researched and published in ITP. So you're absolutely right. He said, this is how it would work. This is how the Prevnar vaccine could trigger ITP in a susceptible host. And he put that very evidence you're talking about, we put that on. Look at the criticism we got from the special master. Where's your epidemiology? That was expressly the sort of thing that Alton Prong 1 was to protect us against having to do. There is no epidemiology. What's your specific bio? Not just that it could be a biological, molecular mimic, but what is it? He wanted, literally, he said, where is your sequencing? We want the amino acid sequencing. It's got to be published. Well, people aren't doing research on that. We don't know what this specific mimic would be. And he said, even if you had that, that wouldn't be enough.
Is the fact finder here, the special master, allowed to demand any kind of support? Or is it enough for somebody with credentials to simply assert it?
He has discretion. If Alton Prong 1, plausible medical theory standard applies still, if that's still the law in this program, which Special Master, as you read, said it is not, but then we have to present a plausible medical theory. Absolutely, the person needs to be qualified to say it. They have to present the theory. And the Special Master here said expressly, you've presented a plausible medical theory. However, that's not the standard anymore. That should have been the end of the analysis.
I thought the special master said you presented a theory that, as a general matter with respect, is plausible in some context, namely molecular mimicry, but you haven't shown me, I don't remember whether he again used the word plausible, but you haven't shown me that that theory plausibly applies to this particular set of molecules.
Yeah. I think what you're referring to is, it was on the next page of the decision, and he said, even if you provided me a molecular mimic, you haven't provided the application of that mimic to this child, which is you have the phenotype and the application. That's stunningly impossible. I want you to understand what that means. That means even if we had a molecular mimic that was published, okay, we had that scientific certainty of how the vaccine could cause it. What that criticism was about was Alphenprong 2. You haven't shown me how that mimic, if that mimic actually works in this child. Okay? So, for instance, if we had a child who had an autoimmune encephalitis, if you take what he said literally, what that means is that I want to see that this child's brain, in fact, functions or is attacked by that particular mimic. But, Your Honor, the question, the special master said, this is not a point of debate, I don't think, Alphenprong 1 is not the law anymore. He said that Boatman replaced it. And what Boatman replaced it with is the sound and reliable standard. And sound and reliable, according to this special master, and I think, in fact, it probably is what it, I mean, it's from Daubert. What that means is that the Boatman majority overturned Alphenprong 1 and implanted sound and reliable into the Alphenprong 1 standard, which means scientific certainty. That's why his criticism of our proof was that you haven't presented epidemiology, you didn't present direct medical literature where the authors of the literature said, this vaccine does cause this injury and here's how it does it. You didn't show me the specific mimic that was that could cause it. The fact that molecular mimicry could generally isn't good enough. He found we had a medically plausible theory, and he said that's not the standard. And he specifically said Boatman overturned Alphenprong 1. That was his reasoning, and we believe that that is error, and we ask this court to so find. I want to.
You're into your rebuttal time. You can use it or continue as you wish.
I want to quickly get into the fact finding. The special master.
I mean, you want to answer the question that was asked first and that you deferred.
Is there a question?
No, continue.
Oh, okay.
It's your time to use as you prefer.
On the fact finding, the special master criticized petitioner's lack of production of evidence that CL had symptoms of ITP in 2013. However, absent from his fact finding, and this is not a complete list. The bruising did not cause discomfort. That's ITP bruising. That was in the fall of 2013. Didn't make it into his fact finding. There were no incidents that caused the bruising that was seen. That didn't make it into his fact finding. The bruising on the nail bed is the same type of bruising that happens now with ITP flares. That didn't make it into his fact finding. With years of experience, Mrs. Lloyd knows when the ITP is flaring because of behavioral changes. That happened in 2013. That didn't make into his fact finding. Dr. Gershwin's patient, who had normalization of blood levels when exposed to an immune challenge, that didn't make into his fact finding. The group of photos as a whole, he looked at them individually, but not as a group. As a group, it shows a kid with bruising from head to toe who 9 months later receives her diagnosis of ITP, a disorder that by its very nature can take a while to diagnose. That didn't make it into his fact finding. What could this lady bubble wrapped the furniture in 2013. She took pictures of her child's bruising in 2013. Who does that? The fact that the formal diagnosis was made 9 months later, what caused all of that? That didn't make it into his fact finding. We asked this court to order the special master to go back and put our evidence into his fact finding. He can't just pick and choose and leave our evidence out. It wasn't there.
Thank you, counsel. Your time has expired, but we'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal. King?
May it please the court, Tyler King for respondent appellee, Secretary of Health and Human Services. Good morning, your honors. First off, I will be asking this court to affirm the decision of the Chief Special Master denying this petition. I will pick off where petitioner left off regarding the factual inquiry. The Chief Special Master, as an independent fact finder, considered all facts presented in this case and came to the conclusion that the onset of the petitioner's ITP occurred in May of 2014. Now, he came to this conclusion after review of the evidence. Now, the evidence that was not discussed there includes the fact that this...
What about the evidence that counsel on the other side says he did not discuss?
Okay. So, regarding the photos, so these photos were also reviewed by respondent's expert. Now, respondent's expert included a hematologist, the only one that was here for this case, and a pediatric immunologist. So petitioner's expert was an immunologist as well. Both the respondent's experts reviewed the photos, and they said this was normal bruising, the type that would typically be seen in a child. They also concluded that the medical records, which the child after the August vaccination in 2013...
And did the special master discuss the evidence that you just were recounting, or you're just describing evidence that's in the record that the special master did not discuss?
He did discuss it. He noted that the pictures provided lacked any type of metadata. They were difficult to see.
I'm sorry, I guess I'm just trying to focus on, and you know the specifics better than I do. I thought Mr. Gage said there was some important evidence on the question, bearing on the question of onset, the special master did not discuss. Is that true?
No. He carefully considered all the evidence, and as the independent fact finder, he came to his conclusion that onset occurred in May of 2014. The other factors that he also considered were the child did present to multiple providers from the time of vaccination to a diagnosis. Now, these medical appointments did not feature any notations of bruising. They did not feature any notations by the mother that there was bruising or concern. In fact, in February of 2014, the child had a blood platelet test done. Now, this blood platelet test was found to be for 330,000 blood platelets. So in order to confirm ITP, that would be anything less than 100,000. And this is where the Chief Special Master, he focused on his issues with petitioner's theory that there was nothing presented to explain how you would have, for 9 months, this child that did not appear to have any symptoms and had this blood platelet test of 330,000, and then all of a sudden dropped to, in June, it was 30,000. And respondent presented experts that even testified any type of waxing and waning you would expect would be to the extent of 20 to 30,000 blood platelets, not a precipitous drop from 340 down to, I believe it was 30,000.
Is it your view that the factual finding by the special master that onset didn't occur till May of 2014 or June, is dispositive of the appeal?
Yes.
Without getting into the questions about whether there has been a departure from Alfin?
Yes, because the court's affirming the Chief Special Master's holding, that would prove that petitioner did not meet their burden under prong three. And if they didn't meet their burden under prong three, then there's no need for a further analysis. Furthermore, petitioner's own expert in this matter agreed with the chief special master that if there was an onset between 5 to 10 months, that would be well outside the time frame for causation by vaccination. Moving on to the next point that petitioner raised. The chief special master correctly held petitioner to their burden, which is a proof by a preponderance of the evidence of a medical theory causally connecting the vaccine with the injury. In this case, he properly noted that petitioner, outside of identifying the Prevnar vaccine, had not proved by a preponderance of an evidence that it could cause ITP. As far as the studies mentioned by petitioner, the chief special master noted in his decision that that is not a requirement. However, this was brought up by petitioner, so he addressed it. There were no studies brought forth by petitioner. Actually, I'm mistaken. They presented a study called Wong, which respondent's expert, Dr. Strauss, noted featured an adult male that was undergoing a kidney transplant and thus not dispositive of whether vaccinations and ITP could be linked. And so otherwise, he noted all of the studies provided by petitioner. And none of these studies stood for this proposition showing any type of link between ITP and the Prevnar vaccine. Furthermore, petitioner's experts even was confused about thrombocytosis and ITP. Thrombocytosis is a disorder that has the opposite effect. So that would be the blood platelets would go up versus ITP, you would have a reduction of the blood platelets. All of this is dispositive when evaluating respondents' experts, petitioner's experts, and such. Regarding the molecular mimicry, the chief special master carefully noted that you can't just chant the words molecular mimicry. Otherwise, you would be able to just say any vaccine is caused by any injury. And, you know, because you say it, we have to take your word for it. So he carefully went through and found that petitioner had not met their burden by a preponderance of the evidence. If this court has no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. King, Mr. Gage. 2 minutes for rebuttal.
As counsel declined to answer, those facts, testimony of the mother, facts of what happened, the testimony of our doctor that I outlined, none of that was put into the special master's analysis of this case. Those facts were all left out. Those were the facts that it would be extremely hard to explain away, so they were just left out. So it absolutely is not true. He did not consider our case. He considered a respondent's case, and I believe that's error. It in fact, directly violates subsection 13A1's mandate that special masters consider the record as a whole, as an absolute violation of that. When counsel says they didn't meet their burden, the question is, what's the burden? I mean, if the special master expressly said that we satisfied the old standard under Altham Prong 1, he said it, the medically plausible theory, and then he said, he wasn't mincing words, the medical plausible theory from Altham Prong 1 is no longer the law. He says that Boatman replaced that. And Boatman's is sound and reliable. That language comes from Daubert. So we have Daubert overturning Altham Prong 1's language. That's what he said. He wasn't mincing words. And then he criticized us for not having epidemiology, direct medical literature, direct proof of mechanism. Those are all the things that Altham Prong 1 said petitioners don't have to do. That was the reason for Alfin to be decided. That's what the Stevens decision earlier said that petitioners were going to need, and this court in Alfin said petitioners don't need that. So we didn't meet our standard. Well, what was the standard? And respondent failed to even address that issue. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.